Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it.
Today we are looking at John chapter 18, and on the surface, it's a pretty familiar story if you've been around church for a long time, you've been around the Bible for a long time.
If you've been around the podcast for a long time.
This is Jesus being handed over, being arrested. Judas betrays him. He's taken into custody. What's interesting, Jenny and I always kind of like back and forth try to talk about what we want to talk about. And something that's really rising to the top with us as we record this is Jesus is hauled before every worldly authority that would have been in that region at that time. Anybody who was anything had a say in what was going to happen to Jesus. And it's really interesting to read this chapter through that lens. I know to me, just because we've been reading through the Gospels, like we kind of get to this part of the story and I'm like, oh man, what are we going to talk about? I feel like we've talked about this several times already. But as soon as we noticed that, it was like, whoa, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so I think in this chapter specifically, we're hearing a little bit more about who those high priests are that he has to face and basically be questioned by. But what is really, I don't know, it really hits home for me is that yesterday when we were reading chapter 17, we read this entire prayer as Jesus being like the high priest on behalf of the people of the world and their sin, offering himself as a sacrifice. Like Jesus isn't just the priest. He's also the sacrifice. Like he's all the pieces for all of humanity. And now he actually has to go and face the high priests who were chosen by God, who is Jesus himself, and be questioned by them about the things that he is teaching the people about God.
Okay, there's a little bit of a hitch in that. So this is the first interesting, this is like Bible nerd extra credit. There's a little bit of politics that you can see in this passage if you look for it. So they take Jesus to Annas first, and then they take him to Caiaphas. You might wonder why they did that. What's interesting is the Jews at the time, actually like throughout all time, believed that the high priest was appointed for life. But the Jews were under occupation of the Romans, and the Romans did not want anybody that was not Roman to hold too much power for too long. Hmm. And so Annas would have been the prior high priest, who would be like the established line of the high priest. So they actually take Jesus to him first, even though he's not the acting high priest.
Right.
Then Annas hands him over to Caiaphas so that Caiaphas can see him and pass judgment on him. So even within this little narrative about all the worldly authorities, you can even see how much worldly authorities fight with each other for power and influence, which is not just an ancient problem. Obviously, we still see this today. Another interesting thing, I love pointing out when I can, places where history actually proves that this is real. The bones of Caiaphas, that like this high priest in this story, his bones are in a box. It's called an ossuary. And the archaeologists have actually discovered the ossuary, the bone box, of Caiaphas the high priest. There's an inscription on the side of the box that says that it is Caiaphas the high priest from this time. So there is actual archaeological evidence that he was the high priest in this area at this time. He's the actual guy that passed judgment on Jesus.
Very interesting. And apparently when we were in Israel, we saw this thing and I completely have no idea or memory of it.
I thought it was amazing. And Jenny forgets that we were probably even there. I don't know.
Ryan had to actually do coursework while we were there. I just was along for the ride. So there's that. But anyway, back to John 18. So we're talking about these high priests that he has to face and is questioned by. So when he actually is in front of Caiaphas, what's so interesting is they're asking him questions about like, why are you doing this? Like, essentially, like, why are you trying to like devise this secret plan against us? And Jesus responds to them and he says, I have spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in the synagogues and in the temples where all the Jews come together. I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask this of me? And I think that's actually something that I even picked up as we read through this specific book, is that Jesus did a lot of his teaching very openly and very publicly, which I had not really totally seen before, but so much so that he was in the temples. He was in these places often. And then when he is responded to, this is what was just like, oh my goodness. So when the people around him heard these things as he's talking to Caiaphas, one of the officers in verse 22, standing by, strikes Jesus with his hand, saying, "How dare you, or how is it that you answer the high priest like this?" And it's just like, oh my word. Like that, I said earlier to Ryan, like, this poor fool, like, he has no idea that he is literally like slapping the face of God and saying, "How dare you talk to the high priest like this?" Not even knowing who Jesus is as our real high priest. And what I think also made me start thinking too was in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 6. We hear this, like, probably very well-known verse, but it definitely came to mind as we were reading this. Though he was in the form of God, talking about Jesus, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and eventually humbling himself to death on the cross. And I think if just knowing my own humanity, like being in that moment and like knowing exactly who I am, and someone slapping me in the face saying, "How dare you talk to this person who is like better than who you are," mm-hmm. like knowing that like he is God. I don't know, the actual like grace that Jesus has for these people, and the fact that he doesn't just like explode on them in his completely able ability, whatever, to, I don't know, kill him on the spot. It just like, oh my word. That's okay. Crazy.
Think about the actual details here. This is really interesting. This is the God of the universe who holds all authority throughout all time being slapped in the face by the servant,
a guard
of the high priest who is temporarily appointed by the Roman governor who is temporarily appointed by the Roman emperor. All these people who have very little authority, like many people who were placed there because it was a horrible place and no one wanted to be there, slapping the God of the universe in the face. And the God of the universe being slapped is like, "Why did you strike me?"
That's his only response, because he's like, "Well, if I'm wrong, then like, tell me what I'm wrong about. But if I'm not, why did you do that?" And so I think that just like, it is such an example to us of God's grace for us.
Yes.
And the fact that he was so humble that like his idea of, I don't need to be known as like only God around. Like, I'm humbling myself to even become a man like you. And I'm not going to hold that over you or like just come in and just zap you out of the way. Like, I don't know. That whole situation to me, it just like, it makes my skin just crawl, and I can't imagine what that would have been like to experience. But for Jesus, it doesn't rip him to shreds like it would us.
What an incredible God that we serve, and what an incredible God that we have in Christ, that he was willingly so humble. And you see that in little instances when you pay attention to the story. Bible nerd extra credit is that Luke chapter 23, talks also about Jesus in this period of the story being taken to Herod to be seen by Herod, who was like a temporarily appointed Jewish king. So you have the Jewish religious leaders passing judgment on Jesus. You have the Jewish political leaders passing judgment on Jesus. And now Jesus will be handed over to the Roman authorities to pass judgment on Jesus.
It's like nobody wants to get their hands dirty, but they all have like terrible, sinful desires and thoughts about what they want to happen to him.
Because they're all very concerned about their power. And what's funny is when you actually understand the politics and the power of the region in that time, it's so temporary, it's so fleeting, and it's so meaningless. But they're all clawing and clinging to it every ounce that they can get. That's so similar to our time. Mm-hmm. Like, so many rulers and leaders in our time think they are really something because they have power and they have influence.
I know you've done a sermon before in the past where you have talked about, like, how many of you have ever met a Roman citizen or of that nature, where it was like what seemed so important to them to hold and grasp while they're slapping the face of God in human form, like how much of that even matters now?
Have you ever met or heard of a Jewish king in our time? Nope, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a Jewish high priest serving in the temple in our time. No, they're gone and the temple's gone. Have you ever met a Roman governing authority? No, because that was the largest empire at the time. Nobody thought anything could ever happen to it, and it's all gone. Do you know how many billions of Christians there are around the world?
Yeah.
Billions. And it just shows how powerful our God is, how faithful our God is, and how fleeting everything else is.
And how backwards it is, too. Like, that verse in Philippians just keeps coming to me. Like, we don't need some God that's going to just come in and just wipe everybody out. Like, he comes in humility and in service to God the Father and, like, offers himself as a sacrifice to us completely, like, unneeded for him. Like, he has no need for us in any way, but has given himself for us completely. Like, that's crazy. It's, like, so backwards of what anybody would have thought or imagined.
It's because you cannot ruin his plan. It is impossible to ruin his plan. The reason that people build armies and fortresses and start wars is because they're terrified that their time is ending. And they have to attack their enemies, to weaken their enemies, to ensure that their influence will stick. And it never sticks.
And Jesus didn't do any of that.
He did none of it. So
which actually is kind of a lead-in then to what you were talking about at the end with this little section of, like, not of this world.
It sets up perfectly. Jesus is going to come before Pilate, who is the Roman governor at the time. Most likely he was put there because he was on some kind of, like, administrative behavioral plan where he was, like, made to serve there because nobody wanted to serve there. He was known to be, like, fairly vicious because he didn't want any kind of, like, riots to break out in his region. And he asked Jesus straight up, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus is like, why are you asking me that? And then he says, then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Pilate kind of just dismisses him. Just a couple verses before that, Jesus explains, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." That would have got Pilate's attention because Pilate would have been like, this guy's crazy. Like, he's not trying to lead a revolution. I don't really care about this guy. What's interesting is that Jesus is teaching us that he doesn't need an army to protect his influence. His influence is guaranteed because he is the creator of the universe and we serve him faithfully. It is possible for this verse to, like, be misconstrued. And what I've seen before is that people will read this and say, well, Jesus said his kingdom's not of this world, so we shouldn't be striving to have influence in this world. That's not exactly what we should take from this. Just because Jesus says his kingdom is not of this world doesn't mean we shouldn't try to influence our culture, even our rulers in our society. Like, we most certainly should be trying to bring people to Christ through the gospel. We most certainly should be striving to influence, like, our kingdoms and cultures, but we don't do it the way that everybody else does it. We're not trying to raise a Christian army to bring about a Christian kingdom. We're trying to pray to God, fight a spiritual battle to bear physical fruit in our time. We want people to follow Christ. We want our kingdoms, our governors, our presidents, our rulers, we want them to follow Christ, but we go about it in a different way.
So, like, really crazy, I think, again, turning everything on its head. I was just looking while Ryan was talking a little bit about this kingdom, how it will never end. There's a reference to Daniel chapter 2:44. And it's really interesting. It says, "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break into pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." So I just think, like, this has been prophesied about well before this moment in time where Jesus is basically having to, like, explain himself, but also, like, I don't know. It's just, it's really cool that this kingdom that Jesus is, like, representing, it's not a physical kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's definitely worth being a part of, even though it's not what you would completely expect.
I love that you're highlighting Daniel, because Daniel, like, lived in a pagan nation. His nation did not serve God, and he strived every day to lead that kingdom closer to God. He actually led several kings closer to God because of his God-centered influence and his God-centered passions and convictions. So he didn't just throw his hands up and say, well, my kingdom's not of this world. I guess I'll see God someday. No, he like did his part to speak on God's behalf to the rulers that he was put in front of. And that's the task for us today, to influence the kingdoms that we're a part of to honor God. I guess that's a pretty simple your part for the day. I get kind of wound up about it because I am passionate about it. We want to establish influence. We want to bring people closer to Christ. We want to bring our communities, our nations closer to Christ. And so we don't read these passages and just throw up our hands and think we're some mystical thing that'll just happen eventually. Like, we have a part in this and we want to serve that part faithfully. So I really enjoyed going through John chapter 18. There's a lot here, but one of the coolest things about it is Jesus is the only ruler in this chapter whose kingdom will never end. So remember that today throughout your day. We'll be back again tomorrow with John chapter 19. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officer had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I have said to them. They know what I've said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about what is wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it. And at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside and said to them, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, and I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.